All right, Gary, what are we talking about this week?
Well, Cole, I'm glad I came over this early in the morning.
Ah, man, you know I hate the morning.
I know, but the thing is, even though you hate the morning, you're my number one breakfast buddy.
Ooh.
And I have here a variety pack of oatmeal.
Okay, cool. I'm more of a plain guy, but I'll do a maple cinnamon if necessary.
Peaches and cream. well, you're in luck because I've replaced almost all of the oatmeal in this one with ordinary flavor.
In fact, less flavor. They have managed to extract all of the oatmeal flavor from oatmeal.
Yeah, it no longer tastes like oats. And if you can reach your hand into this variety pack of oatmeal that actually just contains ordinary, let me know what you pull out.
Okay, here we go. Russell. Oh, hey, Russell. How's it going, buddy? Hello. All right, okay, so I pulled out this package here. Let me shouldn't you have like a pot on the boil? Should I get a stew going?
I eat my oatmeal raw.
Okay. So just put a little between your lip and your gum.
Yeah, I stick an individual oat between each teeth and then just wait for them to desiccate.
I used to do that.
Really?
As a kid, yeah.
It's a joke. I didn't know that. But it's oatmeal 64. I mean Quest 64.
Yay. Much like Humpty, I like my oatmeal lumpy and also without flavor. Yep. Yeah. It weirds my family out and always has.
That is a plain non-flavored ice milk for me. Ooh, nacho is cool style.
Nacho. Oh man. Gary, what's your name?
You have a Flandersness about you other than the religiousness.
What do you mean?
Well, just like your propensity for straight shooting and plain things.
Okay, yeah. You're right. I like to standardize. Like, aside from my Dr. Bronner's, I do not like to have any scents in anything that touches my body.
How does it not offend your sense of order to, in the shower, look at the Dr. Bronner's label and just see that explosion of madness?
Well, you know, it's fine. It's there. If you're not focused, if I don't have my glasses on, it just looks like purple. You know,
that's true.
Yeah,
and I've sat down and read a Dr. Bronner.
all one. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross, or Flanders.
Yeah.
Hey, diddly-ho there, neighborino.
Bully-dee-bully-doo. This is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games that you ask us to play.
Yes.
So you don't have to.
Yeah, and this is Quest 64, one of our most off-requested games. This is Brian Skirsha, Lori Jewell, Brett and Eric Plaisance. So yeah, lots of people have thoughts on this and want us to approach it, even though, Gary, this might as well be made by DuPont because it is Teflon the game.
Request 64 that we've had. There's not, like, there are things to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is like one of the most 6 out of 10 games I've ever played. okay. Yeah, this is like a 5 or 6.
Yeah.
This is like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but boy, is it boring.
So let's talk about, if not what it does right, at least what was impressive about it back in the day before you tried to play it, which is the fact that this was by a large margin, the first fully 3D RPG.
Yeah.
So, you know, like no pre-rendered backgrounds here. You just have a little guy walking around on what appears to be a 6x12 floating platform that is falling apart behind you and constructing it in front of you because of the draw distance.
Yeah, just featureless empty planes for miles. I think that, like, this would be, if anyone was looking at this and they're just, whoa, it's the first fully 3D RPG, it would make them not want to make 3D RPGs anymore. Because it's so like,
Gary,
like,
the late 90s happened. There were plenty of opportunities for us to say, yeah, we probably shouldn't do that anymore.
It's just crazy that, like, because we, you know, people keep talking about getting this nostalgia for this shit. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if you look at this, like, this came out, you know, like, what year is this? 1998.
Yep.
So what, that's post Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-Final Fantasy VIII, but like, look at the back, you know, how gorgeous the backgrounds are in Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
And then take a look at this and just be like, well, there's just nothing there. Like, it's like a wireframe on which you hang a game on. You know, it's like it feels like something that you would just like do the bucket tool and put backgrounds on this.
Yeah.
It's so bland.
It might as well just, it would have been cooler if they went like Virtual Boy with it.
Yeah, like any kind of style. Like, this game, it like just has none.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no personality or style to this.
This has so little personality that the main character's name is Brian.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Like that guy from work that you know.
Yes. Everybody knows Brian. You can't remember Brian unless you're named Brian.
Can you imagine if Brian got a stupid fucking haircut? If so, you can imagine, you know, about half of Quest 64.
Yeah.
Quest 64, mm-hmm. Brian's journey for the Game Boy Color. Finally, we get to find out what happened to Brian. So weird.
Yep. Yeah, he has different names in different regions, but in America, they decided to go with Brian, which that's the opposite of what'll often happen, right? Like, Tarantina kind of thing, right?
Yeah, with localizer. Lachior.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, but just Brian
or Seth, right? With Street Fighter 4. I mean, it was named after a guy who worked at Konami, Capcom. Again, I always get the two confused. But also, it just that isn't a name over there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, fair enough. But it does. It'd be a funny, good detail if, like, this were a great game. Like, I would love it if Cloud's name was Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you play it and it's like, oh, here's Barrett and Tifa and Yuffie and Brian. Like, I would think that was very funny. But in this game, it just, like, smacks of, like... So the other things, we were talking about things it does right, and I don't even want to call this right, but it's almost right, is that it has the kind of battle system from Parasite Eve, kind of,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you actually... But all that means is you have to walk up to every enemy before you just stand and smack them. Like, they don't do anything interesting with it.
Yeah.
Because Parasite Eve was actually active. This is just turn-based with, like... I almost said turn braised. This is a sweet, succulent turn braised RPG system.
I thought you were about to say turn braightened.
Oh, yeah. I just got turn braightened. Yes, I'm turning braightened. Yes, I'm turning Cameron. I really think so. But yeah, it just there's no tactical considerations.
Mm-hmm.
It just allows you to move around. It just means you waste the turn at the beginning of every battle.
Yeah. And so, exactly, you have like a range, right? And you can cast outside of that range. And also, you have to aim your spells.
Yeah.
And each spell kind of has its own little arc. So as you're trying to learn what, you know, what works on what enemies, you're going to miss and you're going to burn these spells. And the thing that I found unforgivable about this, and my arc with this is actually pretty fun, is playing this game makes me feel how you feel whenever any random encounter happens. I can normally tolerate a little bit of railing. It's like, whatever. I counted. I got 2.5 steps between encounters once.
It's very frequent.
Yeah.
And you have to do them because it's so grindy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get better by experience points. You get better by doing things, which, like, you'd call that innovation if it wasn't something that was roundly rejected years ago when, like, it didn't work in Final Fantasy II.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's something that, like, it doesn't really work for this type of game. It works in, like, Oblivion, but even then, it's just, like, weird ways you can break the game.
Right.
You know, it works in Oblivion where you tape down the keyboard and just sneak in somebody's attic mm-hmm. overnight to max out your sneaking skill. Like, it doesn't really work. It's just kind of, you can break it in fun ways. It doesn't work here, and you just have to spend so much time just, like, grinding up on these fucking different elemental spheres.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is just so... so grindy. Like, I didn't get very far in it because I got mad about it, but I watched like there's a speedrunning community for this game.
Holy shit.
Weirdly enough. And I watched a couple, like, full-length reviews of people taking it from the beginning to the end and talking about the stuff that you do.
Wow.
Like, I know it's type. So
oh my gosh. Again, in the bland files, which I'm like, let's insert a theme song here. That's just one note. the kingdom that this takes place in, Celtland.
Celtland. Oof. Oof. It is like we talk about like the we gotta get the kids guys in these games, and this is one of them where it's like RPGs are big. We gotta get that Nintendo 64 money, you know. And doing this right on the heels of doing Paper Mario for Watch Out Fireballs is such a stark contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm not trying to be like there's a certain subset of the internet that like gets annoyed when people just worship Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Retronauts gets a lot of shit for like being Nintendo worshippers.
Oh, we've gotten shit for that too.
Yeah.
As recently as like 2 weeks ago.
Like the thing is they're really great.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, like they're not the only good company, but like this is a real illustration of like, oh, that's a really good RPG on the same system with the same limitations. You know, even though like probably budget, like Nintendo probably has more money than Imagineer or whatever.
They're called Imagineer.
Yeah.
Like is that just a way to
Imagineer it?
I mean, is calling yourself Imagineer just a way to wave a white flag to the world?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Well, it depends. Like, if whether you're at like a tech conference or you're a game developer. These guys made a Battle of Olympus. That's weird.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, so like they probably, you know, Nintendo has more money than these guys, but at the same time, like you can make a good RPG on the Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
Just no one did. Like Nintendo made one.
The Nintendo made, I'm looking at a list here. This is the nintendo.wikia.com, and Quest 64 is listed at number one. Okay, cool. The next one is Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. I'm sorry, nope.
Yep.
Like I totally don't mean to like be like a genre person here.
Yeah, guy. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to be a guy. Actually, well, it's not a roguelike actually, because I don't know why I turned into Bubs there.
Like, hey, I don't know why. It's not roguelike, man.
Hey, Homestar. Yeah.
That's a drum set. Give me a slice.
Give me a slice. Oh yeah, put some stank on it. But then Ogre Battle 64 again.
Closer.
Yep.
But, yeah.
And then they start qualifying it. Hybrid Heaven, action game with just one single RPG element.
Yeah.
And then Majora's Mask. Again, kind of nope.
Yeah. Oh, definitely nope. Like, it's kind of crazy because the Super Nintendo was such the place for RPGs. And then immediately Nintendo 64 came out and it's like, fuck you, RPG fans.
Oh, there was another one called the Aiden Chronicles.
Yeah, I saw that on Game Facts is like that you might also like
the Aiden Chronicles, which is about every child born between 2005 and 2010.
Yeah, it's the sequel to the Chelsea Mandate and the prequel to the Dakota Conundrum.
Yeah. Oh man, you know what? I really thought that the Jacob Chronicles didn't get enough of enough respect. So yeah,
his older brother.
Huh.
There's a new version of Quest 64, a brand new copy selling for $474.
Where do you get off?
Who are you?
So
it's in shrink wrap.
you can re-shrink wrap things, dipshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this, I mean, like the nostalgia for this game, because it has to exist if that thing is $400, has to be because it's of like Stockholm Syndrome, right?
You think like the reviews on this have a huge disparity,
mm-hmm.
right? Like some people are just very much like this is a great game and gets unfairly maligned,
mm-hmm.
and then other people are like amateur angry video game nerds and are just like this is a pile of diarrhea dung.
Yeah,
you know. So it's like, but I don't know if it's all nostalgia. Like some of these people, you know, I don't think they're revisiting it with fresh eyes, but I think that they're being more kind to their younger selves, I guess.
Yeah,
like they're just kind of like, oh, I liked it then, and now it's not Shakespeare. Like it's just simple fun, you know. They're doing the internet defensiveness arguments, like
which that's fair. I mean, it's not really an argument. It's an argument I make sometimes, but it's fair at least. Like, huh?
Oh man, did you know this game was called Holy Magic Century in Europe?
Oh, that's great.
That's
I
way
had no idea. That's
Quest 64.
That's great. What was it called in Japan? It had a better name in Japan too. It was
Eltail Monsters.
Yes, because you're trying to find like the Book of Eltail, which Gary is a portmanteau of Elemental Tale.
Yeah, makes sense. Huh. Quest 64 sounds like a game like, you know, like it'd be like Super Task on the Super Nintendo or something like that. Like it wouldn't be it sounds like just like a menial thing.
Mission Cube.
Yeah. the reviews on this are really widely, and so I didn't sift through all of them to try to find the really funny ones, but there are like a couple of headlines where I'm like, this is so weird. Like this guy who's like, it satisfied me while I waited on Zelda. That's worth a 10. And I'm like, really? Like,
I mean, like, would you say the same about Beyond the Beyond? Like, what gives, man?
Yeah. Like, what is that? That seems like, I don't know your point here. It's odd.
What he's saying was, I was pretending I was playing Zelda as I was playing this, and I like Zelda, so ergo.
A boy who is a spirit tamer? It's worth a look. I'm always up for a spirit tamer.
A talking cat?
Yeah, like I've seen a street sign indoors. I've seen everything.
Okay, yeah. Wait a minute. One of these. So I always enjoy the ASCII art at the top of a game vax. Okay.
Oh sure.
That's pretty good. And it usually has a credit to it as well. Mm-hmm. But the first one, the okay. So this is the first game vax that I've seen that has a trophy icon.
Ooh.
Instead of star, like normally I go for the star, right? But this one has a trophy, which I can only assume means that was that a bounty?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, like because that is a thing. I want to read an oral history on Game Facts bounties. Like
but underneath the ASCII of Quest 64 it says the horror .. the horror. And it's attributed to somebody named Subsane.
Uh oh. Let's sink some Subsane. Okay, let's sink that guy. There's like a community for this game of like challenge runs and speed runs and like just using certain elements and stuff like that. It's really crazy to me. I don't get it. But they, again, like there's not that much to say about the actual game. Like you have a history with it, right?
I do. For first question for you though, how far did you get into it this time around playing it?
Like I did 1,000 random encounters on the way after the castle on the way to the first town and quit. I was like, I got this. I don't.
Okay.
And then I watched people play it. Like I did more, spent more time with it than that,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't handle all the Tappa.
You know how I have trouble navigating 3D space in games like this, right? Especially where you can't really control the camera.
Yeah.
So what happened was you're running through this grassland, getting into encounters every 3 steps. And then somewhere along the way, I thought I was mostly through it, but I got turned around and I walked all the way to nearly the exit and then all the way back to the beginning. And when I saw the town again, I was like, I've played enough of this game for today.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. So a little bit like, hey, that's my fault, but also it just makes something like anything about your level easy to like latch onto in terms of navigation.
Yeah. It speaks to a lack of style.
Yeah.
In the game and how unfun it is to traverse.
Mm-hmm.
That like backtracking at all is just a nightmare.
This has to be one of the most thorough game facts I've ever seen.
Oh yeah. 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 Like the main fact for it.
Uh huh.
Yeah. It's pretty intense.
This is like every enemy, every skill, like everything. Huh.
It's really up there.
So my history about this, I pretty much said all of it at the end of the like one of the previous episodes, before we did the great Zoodog fake out. Which is, you know, I was one of those people who probably would have said 10 out of 10. I was waiting for Zelda. I was waiting. I was definitely had the N64 before Zelda, and I would rent, or have my family rent me video games from the front of the Kmart, you know, like just like once a week or whatever. And, you know, like you're a little kid, everything your parents do for you that is not feeding you and providing shelter and some kind of level of affection and validation, is kind of a bonus and you should be pretty grateful for it. Right. Mm-hmm. This is one of this is, I think, the only time I ever was excited about something like rent it for me, please. Got it home, played it, probably got as far as I did this time. And I said, like, I'm sorry, I can't be stuck with this for 2 days. Yeah. I can't. Like, can you drive me back? And I think I asked nice. I don't know if I was upset or what, but it was like, please do. And we gave them some song and dance about the thing being broken. But so like that I still feel bad about that talking about it. But that is what it made me do.
When I was young, I beat, like, this is my equivalent age. I beat Paladin's Quest.
Okay.
For Super Nintendo, which is a really bad game. Like, your magic and your HP meter is the same. And it's really, really grindy. And I beat it. And I wouldn't have beat this. Like, I still wouldn't have played this at the time. Like, I traded it. It came out later because it's a Nintendo 64 game. So, like, when I actually got a chance to try it, I was, you know, smoking cigarettes and skateboarding instead of playing stupid baby video games. But, like, I feel like this is offensively, like, it doesn't have anything interesting to recommend it even. Like, it's not like Seventh Saga, which is, like, a bad JRPG for Super Nintendo, but is super interesting. Like, it is equally unplayable, but is fascinating and has a bunch of cool systems. Like, this, they just take things away. Like, it has that one little bit of tactical combat, and but there's no commerce.
Oh yeah, yeah, everything is given to you. You're like you're out there like a penitent, like with your bowl.
Yeah, it's so weird. You're just busking.
Busking for bread. Busking Kelt for bread land. Across Keltland.
Yeah.
So that was when I was playing this. This just reminded me, you know, I worked for 8 years for GameStop, which is just boggles the mind, right? I started when I was 16. I stopped when I was 24. I was still doing this show, or not this show. I was still doing, like, I was podcasting with you when I stopped working at GameStop. And you have some encounters and stuff that kind of stick with you, you know, just as you accumulate the monster zoo in your head. But one thing has always stuck with me. Because, you know, it was around the time that the DS came out, and we had this one guy who was coming in who, you know, who am I to talk? But he was definitely a person who enjoyed his video games. Let's say that. All right. Okay. And didn't seem to be very up on conversational skills. Right. And so, you know, we were talking about it, and he was saying, like, okay, well, you know, what games do you have for the DS? And I was, you know, saying, oh, well, there's Mario 64, and then there's this one that looks kind of interesting called Feel the Magic.
Yeah, XXXY.
Like that quirky little rhythm game. And, like, his eyes lit up. It was the first time any life touched his face, it felt like. It was, like, just the stone cracked. And then he was like, oh, Field of Magic? And I was like no, I pointed out, if you feel the man, I was like, oh, I thought you said Field of Magic. I got excited,
like, that would have been sweet.
Yeah, so in his like that is that who this is aimed at? Like,
yeah.
So in that guy's head, when he thought I said Field of Magic, he was envisioning his duck, right? Like, the thing that he was meant to chase.
He was thinking, like, it was real life. Like, he thought, like, he had put an addendum on whatever game you're going to give him would suck him into the game.
Like, oh, he thought it was going to Captain N him.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about, like, Field of Magic, and my reaction to a game called Field of Magic and my reaction to a Field of Magic are so separate. Like, a game, it's like, oh, that just sounds like you know, like a obtuse PC game from the 80s or something.
Yeah, like,
but if somebody was like, hey kid, do you want to come see a Field of Magic?
It's like
just like, I'd be like, well, I wouldn't go because it's just the same guy. But like, if it was like one of my friends, like,
yeah,
like, you know, like Brayton knocks on my door, it's like midnight, he's missing a hand,
Gary,
he's got like a new sword that he wasn't carrying before. Yep. and he's like, Gary, I have to take you to the Field of Magic. Like, I would just, like, you wouldn't even get to the end of the sentence before I was like putting on pants.
No, you'd grab a tennis racket and the top of a like the lid from a garbage can.
Yeah, and I'd be like, let's go, let's costume quest this shit. Yeah. Like, it would be, you know, so that, I think that's what that guy was doing. Like, he thought he was getting invited into the explorers.
Into a field. Yes. He thought that he was going to be handed the mission cube. He would have to touch the top face of it, and it would unfurl. And inside there would be a magic face that would whisper magic killing words to him.
I remember there's like an old Onion thing where it's got a picture of this like doofus with his eyes really wide. And it says, I have an iPod that can carry infinite songs in my mind. And it's just his editorial of him just being like, I can bring any song I've ever heard. I can even make up songs. Do. Can your iPod do that? And, like, it's like that. This is that guy.
Yeah. And so this is the guy who would come in and buy any of the anime-based tactical turn-based strategy things, like any of the very self-serious ones that Nipponichi would do after that, and like Record of Agarest War and stuff. It was he definitely had a type.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. The when I was in I think it was in eighth grade. I was in study hall, and there was this girl named Pam, who I went to study hall with. Oh, and
eighth grader named Pam.
Exactly. It was like before the office, and nobody thought Pams were cute. And she loaned me Final Fantasy II. Like, that's how I'd played it. I rented it, but I didn't own that game until way later.
Uh huh.
But she loaned it to me because I wanted to play it again. And two things. One, she had all of her characters maxed out stats and maxed out level, which is just like, ooh, boy. But two, we were like in study hall and we would pass notes, like me and, you know, the people who I was friends with in study hall, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we'd just like pass a sheet of paper where we would write sentences, you know? And at some point she wrote to me, and this might be the first time I've ever told anybody this. It's not that actually that scandalous, but it just occurred to me because of this. She wrote to me and said, and if I've said it on the show, I apologize for building it up. She said, if the opportunity came for you to go on a quest, would you do it?
It's like she's trying to like sell you a timeshare. Now, what would you say?
That's what it was. Or like, and I thought maybe like, so this is, and I'm not trying to be mean, but this was an unpopular and homely girl. And okay. I was not like king cool of the school or anything like that. Yeah. Like, I was an unpopular and homely boy.
Mm-hmm.
But she was an unpopular and homely girl. And I thought that it was like, oh, is this like, am I being hit upon? Mm. And this was me thinking that in eighth grade, you know, like, I'm not, now I don't think any girl who talks to me is automatically hitting on me.
Yeah.
In eighth grade, though, I was an idiot. And I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, is this like the thing that the first step into like a real weird relationship, if I'm just like, yes, my lady. And then like, it just goes from there. Yeah. So that's all. And I was just kind of like, what do you mean? And then just, you know, dropped it. So
did she get real quiet? Did she not really talk again?
Yeah. Well, we were passing notes back and forth. So I think she just changed the subject to something different.
She crossed it through just a bunch of times, like completely blacked out and wrote stupid, stupid, stupid.
Yeah, she meant to write it to somebody else. Like,
yeah. Wait, how was it phrased? If the opportunity presented itself,
would you like to go on a quest?
Wow.
Yeah.
So was she ESL? Was her first language legalese?
No, she was definitely like she could speak English. I think that she just was a high school, like, precocious high school nerd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there we go. So, nope. Definitely a snap back into that time period. I probably would have phrased it like that, too, actually.
Me, too. Like, that's when we keep running into these game facts people who are just like, now, some may believe that this game actually lacks charms, but in fact, it has many. For the observant eye who knows where to look. I am one such eye and have decided to elucidate you, my erudite friends who appreciate high-quality Nintendo 64 games. Like, people like that. Like, it's a high school way of speaking. Or high school for me. Like, if you're remotely smart now, you were intolerable in high school. Like, I think that tends to be fairly true.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, that's, I took myself out of the equation. Like, I had, you know, like, I bumped up to, like, college, like, when high school came around because of all that stuff. So, like, I was the precocious little, like, kid there. Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
I hate me. Like, in a lot of ways, like, you know, nowadays too, but like back then if I think about me then, it's like, you know, you probably shouldn't have broke up with her. You maybe should cool it on the vocab just a second. It alienates people, but most of all, just like, just cool it, man.
Yeah. Just chilling out is almost good advice for anybody.
Yeah. Or just like, you know what, read the room.
Yeah. That's super important. Yeah. Like, people who I know who lack social skills in real life, like, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like they're not stopping to consider whether, like, you know, and you, I mean, it's not like I don't want to impinge on anybody's, like, you can just talk, like, that's fine. But people who there is something to that, right? Like, there is, like, social grace and social intelligence is a thing.
Yeah.
And some people got it. Some people don't.
Yep. And it's all up to us to be tolerant to those who have both more and less. But like,
and it's up to us on Abject Suffering to determine who.
I suppose. Yes. As we rain down from on high. I'm sure that girl was probably just fine.
Oh no, she grew up to be just kind of like a Midwestern mom. Like,
yeah.
I see her on Facebook and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the yeah. So I'm going to throw this out there, even though I'm using it for two podcasts, just because I was just reminded of it. I know you'll appreciate it. I don't want you to have to wait like 6 weeks until the episode of Teenage Dirtbags comes out where I say it. Yeah. I was in a Walgreens near the Oregon State Fair and found a cookbook called Quick and Easy Dump Meals.
I mean, I assume for like a slow cooker.
No, for like a pot or something like that. But that's the name of it. It has like a woman. It's like Quick and Easy Dump Meals, 255 dump meals. Isn't that marvelous?
That's pretty like, good.
I was really impressed. Like, it's like, oh, this is the Gross Midwestern Mom Meals cookbook. Like, they finally put it out.
Oh, man. You know, so I'm trying to eliminate carbs from my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just running it down. Like, I haven't bought any for a while, but you still have like that errant box of pasta.
Oh, sure.
You know, in the back of, in the, you know, but I don't want to throw anything away, even though it's a, you know, like a $2 box of this. So I was like, okay, I've got this shitty shells and cheese, like macaroni, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, okay, well, I'll make this, but so it's not completely bereft of any nutrition, being just cardboard macaroni shells, yeah, and plastic cheese. I'm gonna put some ground beef in it. No, I didn't have any ground beef. I turned all my ground beef into taco meat. So I made I made taco mac. And I ate it. And I ate it. And I just had it in the back of my head. In the back of my head, this is a gross Midwestern mom meal that I'm going to eat a bowl and a half of and then throw the rest away. But that somehow alleviates my fear and my guilt.
Yeah, it wasn't a dump meal.
Right.
Like, it could have been way more of a dump. I would eat some taco mac right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think some hunger just snuck up on me.
Yeah.
To where you're describing taco mac, and I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's the saltiest thing in the entire world. Picture, like, substitute Velveeta and, like, just shitty made with, a seasoning packet ground beef taco meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Sorry.
Well, yeah. It's like when people make that chili mac.
Chili mac is great. I like chili mac.
Chili mac just feels like it adds mush to chili.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, do you want some slime in your chili? Like, well, here's some pasta paste.
What you have to do is, if you're going to be making some chili mac, you got to use leftover chili because it's going to be a little bit dried out.
Okay.
And then that just incorporates like the tomato paste and the pepper into it. And you also want to make sure you don't have too many beans in there. But yeah. If it's nice and spicy, it adds a little bit of texture to it. Yeah, chili mac is a staple around these parts.
It is a chili's better the second day anyway, yeah. Which is me telling myself that we're done with this episode. Like, the fact that was like, I think I'm done. If I'm just like, yeah, chili's better the second day anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's my signal to be done.
That's why I have chili day every month, where I make myself a big thing of chili and then I freeze it and I have little portions once a week, throughout the month.
Yeah. Chili's good.
Yeah.
Other foods are good as well.
I know.
What are we doing next time, Cole?
Gary's Abject Suffering. Nothing's off limits.
No, it's not off limits. I'm just like, it's bereft. It's like it's, yeah. It's it is as inspired as I know. 64.
Anyway, next time we are doing our first game, which was decided by our Patreon raffle.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know.
Yeah. So the if you join us on Patreon at a certain level, you get raffled off to pick a game,
mm-hmm,
that we do. And people request games all the time. You might be thinking, we already pick games, but that's, mm-hmm, like a random number generator, and there are hundreds and hundreds of them in there.
Yes. So over 700 right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's worth it, but you have a chance there. Mm-hmm. This guarantees it. So the next game we're doing is I Want to Be the Guy. And who won the raffle?
This is somebody by the name of Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
So we're doing I Want to Be the Guy. The movie, the game.
Yes.
So looking forward to talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And check out the Patreon as well, because there are episodes of the show that are kind of premium, for lack of a better word. I hate the words, mm-hmm, premium content, but that's what it is, which you get a first crack at for the month they come out. Then they drop onto the store. I believe, yeah, the one that is out right now is Last Action Hero, and everybody gets to vote on what the next one gets to be.
Yeah. And that was fun. Like, yes. That is a good episode, I think. Yeah. So join us on at patreon.com in order to /DuckFeedTV in order to do that.
Yes.
Which I recommend.
Yeah.
Other things you can do. When this comes out, there's still a little time in my Kickstarter, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you head on over to duckfeed.tv/Souls of Darkness, you can join us. We have made our fake bonfireside chat episode stretch goal. So it's all uphill from here. And that's free to everyone because it'll be a funny kind of promotional thing.
Yeah.
For the game or for the book game, like all for the multimedia empire that it is, for the premium content that I'm putting out. I would love to get some more stretch goals before the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So head on over.
Yeah. Help contribute to that final push.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, ratings, reviews, Twitter.
Yep. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Absolutely. And let's sing some subs.
Let's get busy.
Let's get busy.
No, who is Zoodoc? There we go.
Who is, yeah, who is John Galt?
Is a man not entitled to the ass of his, to the librarian of his horse.
Who is Zugalt?
Zugalt. Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay. That's a Google. That's a Googling. Nope. Images. Nope. Nothing.
Dang.
Oh, well, I'm sure that there is. Oh, okay. Wait a second.
Kind of insane objectivist zoo. The animals have to prove themselves to get food.
I mean, is that any different than that one episode of The Simpsons where they take the pacifiers away?
Oh, yeah. It's probably exactly like that, except with the animals and real.
Wait a minute. I did a search for furry John Galt and Gary. There is nothing.
I'm surprised about that.
Maybe DeviantArt is left off of Google image search.
There are, like, I just found... like a Pornhub link that's Vic Rocco and John Galt, and it's just a porn link. I think John Galt is just someone's straight up porn name.
That's badass. I like that.
Like, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Like, pheromonal behavior is the name of this link.
Hmm.
And it's two dudes and they're going at it.
Huh. Good for them.
Yeah. One of them's got tattoos. They're just going to town on each other's donks.
Huh.
Like, and one of them is John Galt. if your poor name was John Galt, like, that would be the thing that you would have to, instead of yelling it out when you came, like, I would want to point to a Ayn Rand poster in the background.
Oh, yeah.
They had it. So, like, after you come, you just point to the wall and it just says, like, who is John Galt? And has that picture of you looking all heroic.
Man, you can use a copy of The Fountainhead as fuck leverage.
Yeah.
Just bend over that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh boy. I was trying to think. There's not a sex word that rhymes with shrugged or Atlas shrugged. Sadly enough.
Huh.
Like Atlas hugged is like, wait, is a little too cute.